When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Come on.
The strong, the powerful David Gerber has returned to Lifeblood. Welcome back, David.
Great to be back.
Excited to have you back on. David is a TEDx speaker. He is a coach and partner with Novus Global. They're an executive coaching firm that works with Fortune 500 companies, professional athletes, high-profile business leaders to develop lives, transform teams, and elevate companies. David, refresh our memory. Tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Yeah, so I live currently in Denver, Colorado, and loving getting to know the Colorado area, and I'm looking forward to ski season coming up and all that fun there. I'm an executive coach, been doing that for about 11 years. And I think for me, the biggest thing that I love about it, why I do what I do, is because I love seeing people do things that they currently thought were impossible. So just letting people explore things that are outside their current scope of what they think to be realistic, and how to achieve that through reinventing themselves in order to attain the lives that they want, the lifestyles, the results, the impact that they want to have with their lives.
Oh, I appreciate that. And I don't know how long it's been since we've spoken, but I know that you've got a lot going on in your life.
Yeah. I definitely do. Just to kind of jump right in, I've been going on like a pretty deep healing journey that resulted from a breakup that happened last December. And so I've been going through a deep dive on all things healing, all things, as you can imagine, kind of big shakeups in life like that really bring about all kinds of just things that need to be dealt with in our lives. And sometimes they can be a blessing in that sense, sometimes unwanted, but sometimes very, very useful. And I remember I heard a quote last year, and the quote was, I rarely like the things that make me better when they're actually happening to me. And that quote really, really sat with me a lot. And as I think about that, just learning to, you know, how do I actually love the thing? Or how do I leverage the time that those are happening to discover new things about myself and the world?
And yeah. As we're going through it, it is awfully hard to say, oh, this is awesome. I could see all the wonderful growth that's happening to me. Thanks a lot for this experience.
Exactly.
It's like, I'm so grateful this is happening to me right now. But no, nevertheless, no. It's like physician, heal thyself, right?
Yep, exactly.
So how long into it, or did you try to steer into this pain immediately and sort of recognize, okay, I hate this, but this is an opportunity? Or I don't know if you felt like you actually go through the stages of grief and mourning. Tell me a little bit about how it all happened.
Yeah, it's a great question. So if I think about back on the timeline, so The divorce started back in December last year, so it's been about 11 months now. And I would say it's the first few months just were just incredibly disorienting, right? Just, I remember I did start working with a therapist, but it wasn't like, I definitely wasn't in a place of, oh, this is going to make me better. This is, you know, it was just more of kind of triage at that point. Felt like I was like in the ICU. And so just having a therapist to help me kind of stay above water during that season of life and what I was going through. And then I would say it was probably in May. So maybe five, six months out that I steered into it. And a lot of the stuff that was coming up for me at the time was, I've been reading a lot of Joseph Campbell's work, and he has similar kind of sentiments to what we've been saying so far. And one of his things is just run into the darkness, which is so counterintuitive, as we oftentimes want to run away from the darkness. And I still remember so many times just writing that in my journal, of just writing it out, like run into the darkness. Like this is a gift. And like you basically want to run. Everything he writes about and similar folks that write about it are like run, like not only run, but like sprint into it. There's so much to learn here. There's so much gold here. And at the same time, as you run deeper into it, the pain seems to accentuate itself. And there's times where you feel like you'll never come back from it. So that was May through, well, I feel like I'm still in that season of life, like very much healing. So I would say it started more about 5 months in, and it still continues on even now. But I would say the intense months were 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, something like that, where it was just, it felt like I may never come back from the brink. But I trusted the wisdom of all of that, of just running into it and seeing what I find. And I have found stuff, and I'm finding stuff, and I know there's a lot yet to come, but it's just a day at a time at this point.
Yeah. Well, I certainly appreciate that. I've been trying to do a ton of writing. I've been trying to write every day for I think maybe since January, and it's been extremely valuable. Yeah. It's something that I wrote down a while ago. I wrote, you know, it was something along the lines of just really appreciating the exquisiteness of certain kinds of pain. It's like if you've ever woken up in the middle of the night with a leg cramp, sort of obviously try to do something about it, just appreciating how debilitatingly painful that is. And I know how much you enjoy it, or you subject yourself to cold water. How do you see parallels there?
Oh, I love that. So, you know, and I've continued with that. I actually set a goal this year to do either 100, like a total of either cold showers, ice showers, or ice baths, of doing 100 this year. Mostly just because I just challenged myself at the beginning of the year. I want to do 100 of those at 3 minutes each. So that's kind of what constitutes one, is doing 3 minutes. And I'm already at like 150. So I'm actually going to push for like 200 this year.
Nice.
Instead of 100. And a lot of it is, you know, I've actually done some research recently around it. And there's a guy who, Andrew Huberman, who does the Huberman Lab podcast. He talks about how it's like so good for your dopamine, and different things. And so I've actually felt that there's been times this year where I've done two or three of the ice showers a day, just to, you know, 3 minutes at a time, just to get myself kind of out of a funk. And it's actually quite, quite useful. I was kind of blown away at times where I'd be quite in a funk, and I would just get into an ice shower and just stand there for 3 to 5 minutes. And it would be really, really helpful at kind of waking me up a bit, shaking me out of the funk. And so that was really, really useful. And so the biggest thing I think that's such a correlation there is there's such a concept around the ice baths of surrender. And I remember there was a point where, and I don't know if I would do this again, but a couple of months ago, I was having a really, really tough day. And so I decided I wanted to do an ice bath, and I wanted to get the water sub 40, which took 70 pounds of ice to get down to sub 40 in this tub I was in. And I wanted to do, I was going to try to do 20 minutes, and partly because I was just pissed at myself for having such a tough day. So that was like the unhealthy part of it. But then the healthy part of it was like, hey, this will help with kind of, you know, just kind of shaking me out of things. And I made it 14 minutes, which nice. I'm glad I got out because I think I was getting close to. I probably should like be careful with that. I think with some of that stuff, if people are listening, it's like be mindful of if you're doing the ice bath stuff to be thoughtful about it.
Hypothermia,
there is some danger. Yeah, there's some danger involved when you're doing it. So I just want to be careful, people. I'm a little bit crazy. I just like enjoy trying things out. But so this whole idea of surrender. Because I still remember when I did that one that day, I got in and there's this point where the first few seconds your body's like not quite feeling it. And then you get 10, 15 seconds in and your body's like, oh my God, what is this? And then for about 6 or 7 minutes, it's, you know, it's one breath at a time of complete and utter surrender to the elements, if you will. And then there's a point where you hit kind of 7, 8 minutes and I think your body is just numb. And so for like 7, 8 minutes in to like 10, 11 minutes, it's actually almost easier. It's a weird concept, but your body kind of like just surrenders to it. But then you start hitting 11, 12, 13 minutes. It's like your body starts to realize like, okay, this is unsustainable.
Yeah. Are we dying?
yeah, exactly. Exactly. From a physiological level, like it feels your body thinks that, cause that's, you know, if you stayed there, that's what would happen. So I think this concept of surrender, you know, kind of like the quote, you know, I really like things that make me better when they're actually happening to me, is just, it's just surrendering to the things that are happening and letting them run their course and sitting in them. And sometimes that means you have rough days. And sometimes that means you just want to get to bed that night. And sometimes it's just bravery looks like opening your eyes the next morning. And just surrendering to that day, that season of life that you're in, that you're healing or going through something really difficult. So I see a lot of correlations with the ice baths and the healing journey of just.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true.
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Like I said, just surrendering, just like letting go and learning how to do so as best as one possibly can.
Yeah, that's. I think that sounds like an immense amount of wisdom. It's something that I've been trying to learn how to do over the past couple of years. I used to be the person who tried to run through walls. And when somebody said, you got to let it come to you, I'm like, I don't know what that means. Letting this run its course, the idea of surrendering. I think that's it makes sense intellectually. It sounds easy, does hard.
Yes. I couldn't agree with that more. You know, it does the about it conceptually, but then when you actually go through it, it's such a different experience.
I wrote down on just sort of taking notes as I'm listening to you, the idea of a victim versus survivor, and not saying that you're a victim, but certainly people that are going through traumatic events. Is that like a shift, do you think, that sort of happens? Because you could certainly stay a victim of your painful experience, or at some point you continue on your path, your hero's journey.
Yes. Yeah. Well, the hero's journey was, you know, again, kind of reckoning back to Joseph Campbell's work. I think there, so part of it for me was, part of my personal journey with this was going through even like this feeling of abandonment, which I didn't realize how deep that cuts. And I ended up reading a really good book called From Abandonment to Healing, which was really, really good. Cause in this scenario with me, it was my wife that initiated the divorce. And so then I was just looking for any resources that would help me kind of make sense of this thing. And so I found this book and it resonated so much. It was like, okay, like that, like you can be abandoned and view it from a standpoint of a victim, or you can view it from I think you can still like take ownership of the fact that that's what happened, or what the experience was like. But still, I think the mindset of it can still be like, I want to look at this and learn from this and heal from this, versus like, I don't know, this is going to ruin me or something like that, however it's going to look. And so, but that book, I think there were so many times I'd read a sentence and I would just be like, that's exactly what I felt like. And so I won't go into a ton of detail per se with it, but it definitely felt like so many things in that book talked about, and it just helped me. I think what, if anything, it helps me realize that like, oh, this is not, the things I'm experiencing aren't abnormal. Like these things are all very normal things for people to experience when they go through something like this. And that there's just something, and I think that's why support groups can be so helpful and group therapy can be so helpful, is you realize that you're not insane. You're not crazy. You're not alone. You're not some weird alien type of person. Like when some people go through similar experiences to this, this is what they experience. And man, that I couldn't tell you, like that was so, so, so helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. That certainly makes sense. To feel like, oh my gosh, you know, it's interesting, right? It's like, okay, I am not alone. I think sometimes you feel like that my pain and my experience is unique, and that's probably not a super healthy thing to want to hold on to. You probably want to get to the point of, okay, this is a regular human emotion. This is something that happens to human beings all the time, in fact. And now it's time to, well, I don't know if that's, I was just going to say now's the time to sort of move on, but I don't know if that's right.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I would agree with you that it's not necessarily like, oh, now is the time to move on. And I'm sure there does become a point where that's the case. I think what I've gotten from it is when I talk to people that have been through similar experiences, they talk about, you know, it's usually a year or two before you start to realize or start to kind of come back to feeling like yourself. Whatever that even means per se. And so I think there is a point where you do need to, but I think what people don't do a super good job of is giving them time and space to heal. And so for me, throughout the time that I've been in this season, I've specifically, like, I have blocks on my calendar, and a lot of times it just says healing time. And I'll use that for, you know, ice baths. I'll use it for meditation. I'll use it for breath work, which is kind of a whole another realm of therapy. I'll use it for exercise if that's what I'm feeling. Cause like, what was interesting was how much like heavy lifting actually helps move emotions, or at least in my experience it did. And I'd heard that, I'd read about it. And so sometimes if I felt like I was having a lot of emotions that I was trying to get access to, I would go do some like heavy deadlifts or squats or bench press or something like that. And sure enough, man, it'd be crazy. It'd be like, I do like 15, 20 minutes of that. And all of a sudden I just like have tons of emotions, and I would be sobbing or whatever it was, but it felt good to do that. And so, or I'd hop on the Peloton and just do a really tough ride, and like it would move those emotions throughout my body, and I would be able to feel them. And so I'm trying to remember what your original question was.
But, well, I think there's a lot of wisdom there.
Yeah.
I think that there's
I think that was what I was getting at, was like when you're in a healing season, especially like, I mean, I think it's good to do throughout the year, but like, especially when you're in a tough season, you've gone through something that you really are feeling it in your body. Like having blocks on your calendar where you learn, like with the help of a therapist or a coach or a practitioner of some sort, like what are the ways that you heal? And sometimes, again, that's like I'll lay down on the floor and I'll just set a timer for 30 minutes. And the only objective is to feel, right? Feel whatever I'm feeling without the story or the judgment or whether I should be feeling that or not. It's just like, what am I feeling? And if that's sadness, then it's just feeling that sadness. And sometimes you can ask yourself questions around it, around like, what does that emotion need from me? What, you know, whatever it is. But like a lot of it was just to like sit in it and let myself actually feel it. Cause to my best understanding, it's like, that's what it takes in order for emotions to travel through our body rather than get stuck in the body.
I love it. I think that that's so well said right there. I think that sort of the, what went through my head is, you know, when you break your arm or your leg and you just kind of get sick of having the cast. And so you break it off too soon and then you don't allow it to fully heal, letting yourself actually and being smart enough or mindful enough, disciplined enough, whatever the term is, to actually schedule the self-care in. What a huge thing that is.
Yeah, it was a huge thing because I realized if I didn't schedule it in, then I'd schedule everything else and then not get to it.
Yeah.
And so scheduling it in there and like making it a priority for me was like, you know, schedule it like it was something important, not just something that was like, oh, if I get around to this, then I'll do it. But it's like, no, this is something that's a huge priority for me on this journey.
Yeah, just to give yourself the space to feel the feelings and to be able to heal or whatever it is. And I love that, you know, you sort of talked about hitting control alt delete and doing the ice bath. You talked about lifting or doing a bike ride and, or just laying down, doing whatever, just give yourself as many different opportunities to put your body in as many different states and just pay attention.
You bet. Yep, exactly.
I love it. Well, David, I appreciate you coming back on. I certainly appreciate your openness to share your experience, and I know that I certainly took away a lot. How can folks connect with you?
Yeah, so best ways, I like to share a lot of stuff that I do and kind of a journey in general on Instagram. So Instagram handles is David Gerber. Website is David A. Gerber with an A in the middle. So davidagerber.com is my website. If you're interested in the coaching company that I work with, it's novus.global. So novus.global. And then gosh, what else? Who knows? I did a TED talk back in March. And so that's available on YouTube. We can link to it if you want to. I also had a good friend interview me about the healing journey. So if people want to go deeper, there's actually like an hour long interview, similar kind of stuff to this, but I go deeper into some things. So I can, if people are interested in that, they can email me, just davidagerber@gmail.com. I can send them a link to that.
Perfect. Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show David your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Find David on Instagram at David Gerber, DavidGerber. Find him on the greater internet at davidagerber.com. Find the coaching company at novus.global. And I will link to the TED Talk and shoot David an email and stay in touch with him that way. Thanks again, David.
All right. Thank you.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight as we are all in this together.